Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Erevin, Daf Nun Hei. And we begin about 10 lines down from the top, which is the two dots, where we begin with a new Braisa. So Nun Hei, Amud Aleph, at the two dots, Tanu Rabbanim. We learned in the following Braisa. Ketzad Ma'abrin Esarim. How does one go and make a city to expand it, to make it, as we said in the Mishnah, it has to be all straight lines, has to be in a rectangular shape. So how does one physically do this? So the Braisa tells us some things that are a little bit puzzling, which the Gemara will explain. So it starts off and says, Aruka kimos shehi. The long way, the length, doesn't have to be changed. Just leave it as it is. So obviously this is going to say, what's the chiddush over here? Obviously, why are you telling us this? Why would you change it? Then it says, Agula osin lo zovios. If the city is circular, so then you square it off. And you can see a picture of this in Rashi. The diagrams are crucial for today's share, so I hope people have at least the Art Scroll Gemara, which they can look at the wonderful pictures that are there, or the Illustrated Gemara, or the Pirush Chai, because these diagrams will really make the understanding of the Gemara much easier. So, if you look in the diagram that we have in Rashi, it's a circular city, and Kishabal Limdo Tchum in Rashi says, when you're going to measure the actual Tchum, Lo Yimdo Lo Mehachoma, you don't take it from the wall of the city, the circular city, El Yosef Lo Rivua, you square it off. The Lav Davka that has to be a square. It could be, if it was an oval city, it would be a rectangle. But you add on a straight line, north, straight line south, straight line east, straight line west, and you square off or rectangle off the city. And that's what Rashi is telling us. Yosef lo rivua, klomer yarchik minachoma kidei rivua. You extend the walls of the circular city out to the point that you have these corners that are extended out because you square off the city. So at the point where it's most left and most right, that becomes a straight line. The most top, the most bottom, that becomes a straight line, and you make it into a square or a rectangle. The Hom Rabin in Rashi says, Peos the whole Mile de Shabbos, because you get these corners, the peis over here, for all the things related to the Chum of Shabbos. And then, Reachetach Yimdo Tchumi HaKronos. And then afterwards, when you calculate the Chum of Shabbos, you go from this squared off city, not from the actual walls of the city. Shembolot says, Derech Keren Ha'ir, Yishtakabi Bahalichuso, Revia de Meruba Yoser Al Ha'igo Revia. And you'll gain the extra quarter. A square is like four in square. It's going to be three inside the circle. So if a circle is 3 square miles, so if you square it off, it's going to be 4 square miles. It's a 4-to-3 ratio between a square and the circle that's inscribed within it. So you're gaining all of this. And then you count the tum beyond the squared off area. That's the second part of the braisa. The braisa continues and tells something that seems to be also very, very obvious. It says, Merubas, if it's already squared off, enos in los obvious. You don't make additional corners for it. So if it's a square, what corners are we talking about? So the Gemara will ask this and explain this as well. Then the Braisa continues, Hoyser Ruchova mitzad echot uktsor mitzad acher. If it's like a trapezoid shape, you can see this in the diagrams that we have actually in Rashi. We see it a little bit more clearer in the diagram next to footnote number 11. In the Illustrated Gemara, it's on page 65. It's diagram number 193. You can clearly see it there. And the Pirush Chai, it's on page 102 in diagram number 14. So these are all critical to understand that if the shorter side of the trapezoid, you're going to make a straight line all the way up that will be parallel and extending just as far as the longer side of the trapezoid. And that area that is external to the short side of the trapezoid will all be included. You square it off, you make it into a rectangle, lav dafka square, and that's all included in the city. And then you count the tum from outside of the rectangle and not from the walls of the trapezoid type city. And that's what the Braisa is telling us. If you have this trapezoid shape, we view them, the two sides of the trapezoid, the short side and the long side, as being exactly the same length. Then we continue. If you have one house that's sticking out, now you can see this in the Art Scroll diagrams in diagram number 12. You can see this, it's not so clear in the Rashi diagram. In some of the newer Gemaras, they have this a little bit nicer diagram where the point where it says Pigum, it's just a single house that's sticking out. Or you can see this in the Pirush Chai in diagram number 15. They're all saying basically the same thing, as you can see in diagram number 12 in the Art Scroll, that if you have one house sticking out, so then That's called the Bayis Echad Yotzei Kimin Pigum. In the Mishnah, remember, we had Pigum was like a tower, or we had an opinion that it was like a pigeon coop or some sort of a structure like that. So if you have one house sticking out, so ultimately you're going to make that as the border on that side. So as you've seen, the first diagram, in diagram number 12 of the art scroll, the one on the left, so it is going to be a single house sticking out, and you draw a line above that, and that will expand the city to that entire row. And then the Braisa tells us, Oshnei batim yotzin kimin shnei pigumim. Or if you have a house at the other end, and you have like two houses sticking out there, so you still draw the line across. Now the obvious question will be, well, if you do it with one, so of course you do it with two. And the Gemara will explain, there's a chiddush over here, this diagram that we have is actually not going to be the final diagram for this. We'll see it means that there's a house on the other side, not on the same side. The Gemara will talk about this. Then we continue, so you have either Baisechad Yosef Kimin Pigum or Shnei Batim Yosef Kimin Shnei Pigumim, so Rowan Oson Ki'ilu Chut Masuach Lehem. So you view them as if the string is stretched out on that side, and you expand the city on that entire side. And all of these diagrams that we just had, Umode Mimenu Ulahalon Alpayin Amah. Then when you go measure the Tchum, so you start from this additional space that we've added onto the city, that we Ma'aber the city, and then you go in all directions, 2,000 Amah in every direction. Then the Braisa continues, Ha'isu Asuya Kimin Kashes, if it was shaped like a bow. And if you look at this in footnote number 13, diagram A, so it's like a bow and arrow. So the city is shaped like a bow. You can see this as well in the Illustrated Gemara's diagram 194, or in the Pirush Chai in diagrams 16 and 17. So again, the similar idea that if you have this type of a structure, Ok Min Gam, or if it's shaped in the form of like a Dalet, this is a Gam, is the letter Gamma, but it's shaped like a Dalet, and you can see this in the art scroll in diagram footnote number 14, diagram B. You can see this in the Illustrated Gemara, diagram 195, or you can see this in the Pirush Chai in diagram number 18. And this is basically telling us that we view all of these cities, either like a bow or like the letter Dalet, backwards Dalet, Ro'enosan ki'ilu hi meleya batim v'chatzeros. We fill it in. And you can see this in the diagram below, footnote number 16. And you fill in the entire area of the bow, you fill in the entire area of the Dalet. And again, you can see this in the Illustrated Gemara, how they show you to fill it in diagram number 195, and similarly in the Pirush Chai, how it's filled in diagram number 16 and in diagram number 18. So this is what the Bryce is telling us. You fill it in, and then you go in every direction from this either bow or from the Dalet, from the Gam, so you go and extend it out beyond that 2,000 Amas. That's the Bryce. Now we're going to discuss this a little bit more. Omar Mark. We requote the Bryce. So the first part we said was a little bit enigmatic. It said, Aruka Kimoshi, if the city is elongated, you leave it as it is. So Gemara says, Pshita, obviously, why would you think that you shouldn't leave it the way it is? So Gemara says, Lo, we need it over here. Tzricha da'aricha uktina. It's if you had a non-square, if it's a rectangle. Again, you can see this in diagram number 17 if you have trouble imagining what we're talking about. And what it says over here is, assuming that it's not a perfect square. So you might have thought that you have to go and extend the side that's not a perfect square to make it into a perfect square. And that you would extend it down so that you square off the city. That's what you might have thought. Ma'al detema litin lo pusyo aorka, that the length and width should be exactly the same. And that every city you'd have to make into a square. It's a rectangle, but you have to make it into a square. So the shorter side is going to be extended outwards even more. That's what you might have thought, kamash v'lan, that that's not true. We don't do that. Again, you can see a beautiful diagram showing this, if the art score wasn't clear enough for you, in diagram number 196 in the Illustrated Gemara. Now, kamash v'lan, that's what it tells us when it says that you don't make a rectangle into a square. Now we quote the Bryce again. It said, Mirubas ain't osin los ovios. We said, if it's already squared off, we had the circular city, so that you have to square off. But he said, if it's already a square, then you don't add on to it corners. In other words, you don't square it off. Gemara says again, Pshita, how would you think you should do this? Gemara says, Lo, Tzricha de Mirba, however, below Mirba, Biribua Olam. And you can see a beautiful diagram of this in the regular Rashi's over here, where it says, you have a diagram of a diamond-like shape within a square shape. You can see this next to Dibra Maskil, Pachos Midalit. If you want to see this in the art scroll, it's next to footnote number 19, and you can see this in the Illustrated Gemara in diagram number 197, and in the Pirush Chai, you actually have this back earlier on page 102 in diagram number 12 and 13, where it really shows you well that if the orientation is towards the orientation of the world, so you square it off anyway. It doesn't have to be that the square is sitting flat, so to say, but it could be pointy, as you can see in all these diagrams that I just mentioned. And the chiddush is that ma'u detema, I might have said lirba b'ribua olam, that you might have thought that you have to go and square it off if it's not facing in the direction of the world, so then you have to go and square it off. So it faces in the direction of the world, but the flat part of the square of the city is facing off towards the north, south, east, and west. So kamash v'lam, that we don't have to do that. That if it's in a diamond shape, that's fine. Even if it's not flat part facing upwards, but if the pointy part is facing upwards, we don't square it off. And that's what it means to tell us that we don't square off a square city, even if it's not squared off, facing in the orientation of the world. Now we quote the next part of the Braisa. It says, "Hoya bayis echad yosikim in pigum, o shnei batim yosikim in shnei pigugim." So we extend that part of the city. So Gemara asks the obvious question: Hashda bayis echad amris. If even one house is sticking out, you extend it. So then shnei batim mibayim. Would you have to tell me that two houses are sticking out? You have to also extend it. If one house does, certainly two do. So Gemara says, "No." I pointed this out before. Lo tzricha, you need it over here. Mishtei ruchos. This is. You can see this in the diagram in next to footnote number 21, that you might have thought that if in fact you had it on the same row, then you extend it. But if you had it on two different rows, you might think that you don't extend it in that situation. So the Gemara comes to tell us, the Chiddush is, no, even though, that's what I might have thought, no, that even if it's on two different directions, if you have a pigum on one end, let's say the northern end, and then you also have a pigum on the southern end, so then we extend both of them. We don't limit it to one extension, and the houses have to be on the same side. No, any place where there's a pigum, you can go and extend out that entire row, that entire side. Then we quote the Mishnah, where it said, we said it was like a bow, or kamin gam, or like the Greek letter gamma, which is like a backwards dalid. So ro no sa kiilu himulea batim chaseros. We view it as if the bow is entirely filled up, or the gam, the dalid, is entirely filled up, and therefore you fill in that area of the bow and fill in the area of the dalid to make that the area of the city, and then you extend the tchum beyond that. Umodi bimenu lahalon apayimama. However, now Rav Huna says not exactly. Rav Huna qualifies it, and he says, "Ir ha'suya kikeshes." In our example of the case of the city, which is built like a bow, she says it depends. Im yesh bein shnei rosheha pachos me'arbas alofim ama, then modin law min ha'yeser. The yeser is like the bowstring of a bow and arrow. So you have the bow part of a bow and arrow, and you have the bowstring of a bow and arrow. And he says, if there's a difference between, and you can see this in the Illustrated Gemara in diagram number 198, and you can see this as well in the Pirush Chai in diagrams number 25, and you'll see the next one in diagram number 26. So if, in fact, the bowstring is going to be like we have it in the art scroll next to diagram number 23, footnote number 23, so then if between the two ends of the bow there's less than 4,000 amma, in other words, people without any of this discussion would be able to walk from the left side of the bow to the right side of the bow. They could meet in the middle because each of them has 2,000 amma, and the 2,000 amma would overlap because it's not 4,000 amma between them. So therefore, in this situation, we draw the bowstring, we draw the yeser across the entire bow, and the entire bow is included in the made-up city that we're extending the city, in the Ma'abert city. That's if it's less than 4,000 amos. However, v'im lav, but if it's more than 4,000 amos, and you can see diagrams of this next to footnote number 25 in the art scroll, and as well, you can see this in the Pirush Chai in diagram number 26. So then, modid lo min hakeshes, then you only go and measure it as far out as it's within 4,000 amos. And you don't go all the way to the end of the bow, but you draw the Yes, sir. At the point where it's 4,000 amah apart in the boat. Again, you can see this in the diagram very clearly next to footnote number 25 in the art scroll. So the Gemara questions this. Umi amar Rav Huna hachi. Did Rav Huna really say this? From Rav Huna, Rav Huna said, Choma so'ir shenifritza b'meya v'arboim v'achas u'shlish. If you have a city that's split, now, right now, we're not assuming that the city is totally split in half. Right now, we're assuming that the city is only split partially, as you can see in the diagram next to footnote number 27. We'll see ultimately that it's actually going to be fully split, like you have the diagram in the Gemara itself, in Rashi, or as you can see in diagrams in the illustrated Gemara on page 67, diagram number 199. In any event, what we're saying over here is that Rav Huna said that if you have a city that is only partially broken into, so you have a breach in part of the city, as long as the two sides of the city are still within 141 and one-third amos. That's not a strange number. That's twice 70 and two-thirds. Now, we've already mentioned the 70 and two-thirds is a magical number, an important number, because every city gets that in addition to the 2,000 amos. There's also a area outside of the city that you're entitled to that's called the Karpaf. It's like an area that's open outside the city that's considered part of the city for 70 and two-thirds amah. So Rav Huna had said that if the city was breached and this breach left a hole or a gap that is not more than 141 and one-third amos. In other words, it's not twice 70 and two-thirds. In this situation, if that's how much it is actually breached, so in that situation, we still view this as one city. And it doesn't have a separate status to the left and a separate status to the left in terms of Tchum Shabbos. We consider that all dalet amos. That entire city is still not considered breached. So how come that's not the same thing over here with the keshes, with the bow? With the bow, we're giving 4,000 amas. Here we only give 141 and one-third amas. So I'm a Rabbi Barula, lo kasha. Rabbi Barula says it's not a problem. There's a difference between the bow and this breached city. Because when we're talking about with the bow, it's really kan beruach achas. It's only breached on one side. It's open on the bow open side, where the bow string would normally be, but it's closed on the bow side. As opposed to here, the city is breached through and through. Kan mishtei ruchos. It's not like the diagram that we had. It's like the diagram that we now have in the art scroll next to footnote number 29. Or like the diagram that I showed you before in the illustrated Gemara, diagram number 199. So in this situation, it's through and through breached. So now it's like two separate cities, unless they're within 141 and one-third amas, because each city is given 70 and two-thirds amah. So if a city is 72 and thirds amah, and the other city has 70 and two-thirds amah, and they overlap, in other words, it's not more than 141 and one-third amah, then it's still considered one city, but otherwise it's not. So Gemara says, so my kamashulon, so what's the chiddush over here? The nostin karpaf lezu, the karpaf lezu? Are you telling us over here that Rav Huna is teaching us this great chiddush that each city gets 70 and two-thirds amah, and therefore as long as there's not 141 and one-third amah between them, it's considered still one town? Ha'am Rav Huna chadu zimna. He already taught that to us. Where did he teach it to us? In the following Mishnah, the Tnan. We turn to the Amud Beis. This is a Mishnah that we'll have in Yitzchak Shem in a couple of days, on Daf Nun Zayin with Aleph. Nostin Karpaf Lir. Every city gets 70 and two-thirds amah besides the Tchum of 2,000 amas. Divri Rav Meir. However, that's the opinion of only Rav Meir. Chacham Amrim, Lo Amru Karpaf. We only have this concept of a Karpaf, Elo Bein Shtei Ayaros, in between two cities. And in this regard, it was said, V'itmar, Rav Huna Amar, Karpaf Lezu, V'Karpaf Lezu. He said, in this situation, you get 70 and two-thirds amas for each city. Not a total of 70 and two-thirds amah, 70 and two-thirds amah for each city. V'chia bar Rav Amar, ein nosin ela karpaf echol l'shneim. He disagreed, and he said, you don't get 141 and a third amah, but you only have to have it 70 and two-thirds amah. But the bottom line is, Rav Huna already taught us, he's a machlokes v'chia bar Rav, but Rav Huna has taught us that you do get two karpafs. You get two times 70 and two-thirds, 141 and a third amah. So why is he telling it to us twice? So Gemara says, Tzricha, Rav Huna had to tell it to us twice for the following reason. The Yashmin and Hacha, they only taught it to us in our case over here with the city that had a breach in it, and therefore, in this situation, since it originally was one city, Mishum Dahavalet Sad Heter Mikara, originally it was one city, and now it got breached, so maybe in this situation, the 141 and one-third Amma is still considered that it's one city, as long as the breach is less than that. Aval Hasam, where you started off over here with two separate cities, and they're within a certain distance of each other, less than 141 and a third, but more than 72 thirds, maybe he doesn't apply it. Oh, that's the Chiddush. He has to tell us that it applies in that situation. So just tell us there. B'yashmin Hasam, if you told it to us over there, I would have said, Mishum, the Dechika Tashmish Sayu, because in that situation, each was a separate city, and they had the 70 and 2 thirds, and if they don't give them the 70 and 2 thirds for each of them, it's going to be difficult for them to use it, because they're used to using it. So that's why it's considered only one city if it's less than 141 and a third Amma. But in our case, Aval Hocha, the Lo Dechiko Tashmisayu, there really isn't much of a use over here because there never was a use. It was in the middle of a city. And the city got breached, so they weren't used to using a breach. And therefore, I might have said, in this situation, you don't get 141 and one-third Amma. Amalo. Therefore, Tzricha. Rav Huna had to tell it to us in both situations, where it was a city, there was one city that got breached, or whether it was two cities that now are close to each other, less than 141 and a third Amma. So in both situations, they're considered still like one city. Now the Gemara says, V'chama have bein yesel lekeshes, how much space does it have to be between the bow city and the yeser, the bow string of the city, for it to be considered like one entirely filled in city? So Rabba bar Hun amar apayim amma, it can't be more than 2,000 amma from the center of the bow until the exit point of the bow. Again, you can see this in diagram number 25 in the Pirush Chai on page 104. And the next diagram will be diagram number 26 over there. We don't have diagrams in the art scroll, but if you have the illustrated Gemara, you can see this in diagram number 202. So this is the opinion of Rabba bar Rav Huna, who says that if this distance is Alpayim Amma, if it's up to 2,000 Amma, then you fill in the entire area. If it's more than 2,000 Amma, then you can't fill in the entire area. However, Rabba Rav Huna, his son said, Amar, no, afilu yaser mi'alpayim amma. He says, I disagree with my father. It can even be more than 2,000 amma. Amar Abaye, Abaye says, kavase de Rava, berei de Rabba Rav Huna mistabra. He says, the son, his opinion makes more sense than the father, because di boy hadar ase derech batim. Because he says, the bottom line is, what difference does it make how long the distance is, so to say, how deep the bow is? Because if a person wants to go from one end of the bow to the other end of the bow, he could walk within the city, within the bow. So, therefore, as long as the two ends are within a certain distance of each other, we fill in the entire city, and you don't have to have a limitation on how deep the bow could be. So, Abaye says that the son, Rava, Bered, the Rabba bar Rav Huna, is more correct than his father's opinion. Now we go back to the Mishnah, where we quote the Mishnah where it said, Hayusham Gidudios, Givos Asar Tvachim Chule, if there were these runes, but the runes were not totally destroyed, and you still had walls left, so then they can extend the boundary of the city as well. So Gemara says, what do we mean by Gidudios? My Gidudios. So I'm Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says these are runes that have still three of the walls up, Shalosh Mechitzos, however, Shein Aleim Tikra, but there's no ceiling. If they had a ceiling, so then it would be a regular house, and of course it would extend the walls of the city, the area of the city. But here, all you have is three walls left, and it still extends the city. Gemara now asks, Ibailu, they ask the following shayla, shtei mechitzos. If you only had two mechitzos, but v'yeshalein tikra, but it does have a roof on top of it, so then does that count as a valid extension of the city or not? Mahu. Two walls alone would not count, and three walls don't require a ceiling. But what happens if you have two walls with a roof, with a ceiling? Does that count or not? So we'll try to answer this with the following brisa. Toshma. Elush misabrinima. The following structures are going to be able to be used to extend the city limits, to make that the end point of the city. For example, if you have nefesh, if you have nebuch, a grave, sheyesh bo arba amos al arba amos. So you have this grave which has a house in it. Again, it has to have a bais in it. The grave itself doesn't do anything, but it has a house of some sort, a room of some sort, a cheder of some sort, nefesh yesh bo arba amos al arba amos, as long as this structure is at least 4 amos by 4 amos. As Rashi says over here, this nefesh is a binyan ala kever, it's some sort of a building on top of the grave, or next to the grave, ustamul adira shomer kever, and the usage of this structure is for a watchman there who watches over this kever. So in this situation, Hilkach Avogad the Lodayer Bay Beis Dirahu, even though somebody's not living there right now, but since they could live there, it will extend the city. Likewise, if you have a gesher, a bridge, or a kever, or some sort of a Beis HaKvarus, Rashi says, if you have a cemetery, so not one particular grave with a house attached to it, but you have either a bridge or a cemetery, Sheyesh Ben Beis Dirahu, that has some sort of a watch house, some sort of a dwelling that somebody could live in. Or Ubeis HaKnesses, Sheyesh Bo Beis Dirahu L'Chazen. Or you have a shul that has an apartment within it. Who lives in that apartment? The Chazen. Now, the Chazen doesn't mean the one who's the Baal Tefillah, but it means the shamish, the person who's in charge of running the building. So they give him an apartment over there. He takes care of the lights. He takes care of the cleaning, etc. So as long as there's a room for him, and similarly, the city would be extended in a similar type of structure with a Avodah Zarah that had a place for its watch person or caretaker. The priest who would run their Avodah Zarah building, so the priest in that situation lives there in the building, so he too, that's considered a building that extends the city. Likewise, vuvaros, Rashi explains, vuvaros are avuros susim, it's like some sort of a barn, shebesados, they're out in the fields, and likewise, v'yesh ben beis dira, somebody lives over there to take care of the animals. And finally, vaburginin, shebesocha, we've had the word burginin previously, these are like little tsrifim, these are like little huts that are out there in the field, and a watchman or somebody stays over there who takes care of the field. And likewise, if you have an island that's next to the city, and it has a house on the island, so they would often dock the boats there, and they would take food or things from the boat onto the island and back. So as long as this island was used as a house for Dira, so in all of these situations, Hare'elu Mis'abrin Ima, in every situation, they are considered as an extension of the city, as opposed to the Elush Ein Misabin Imo. The following are not considered as extensions of the city, such as Nefesh, Shenifrit Sa Mishtei Ruchosea Elech Liecha. Elech. You have this structure on top of a grave that was broken, it was breached, and it only has two of the walls remaining. So two sides were broken, the other two sides are still there. That's not going to extend the city. Or a gesher vakever, or if you have a bridge or a cemetery, Sheinlem Beis Dira, they're just structures, but they don't have a house for a person to live in, so it won't extend the city. Or Beis HaKnesses, the Beis HaKnesses in those days were outside the city, they were on the outskirts of the city, and therefore if there was no dwelling place, so then it's not considered an extension of the city. And the same thing would apply with the Avodah Zarah, the comparable situation with Beis Avodah Kochavim, Shein Lo Beis Dira L'Kumrim, just like the Beis HaKnesses, Shein Lo Beis Dira L'Chazen. So if these two places don't have a living area, an apartment for the shamish of the shul or the kumar, the priest of the Avodah Zarah, so that it also won't count to extend the city, because it's not considered part of the city. And likewise, the stables, the barns, va'uravos, va'utzaros, and other storehouses areas, shibasadas, out in the fields, shenlem beis dira, if nobody lives there, so then they're not considered an extension of the city. Similarly, ubar v'shiach ma'ara, these are various types of water cisterns or ditches or caves where they normally would store water. So all of these are not living places, so even though they're connected to the city in some way, they're not considered part of the city. Likewise, v'gader, if you have a fence, or shovach, a dovecote, shebesocha, that's also in this field, so they're not considered part of the city. Likewise, v'abayis shebesvina, if you have a houseboat, right? So a houseboat isn't considered a stationary object, as opposed to the house on the island. So in this situation, all of these are not considered an extension of the city. Ein elu mis'abrin ima. Now, we started off saying over here that this is a proof. Ketani Mias, we said, Nefesh Shenifritzah Mishtei Ruchosea Elech Ve'elech. If we had this house, you know, mausoleum that's near the kever, so we said, if only two of the walls were left, it's not considered good. My love, the Ikotikwa, aren't we talking that it still has the roof on top, and yet we say it's no good, so this asks and answers the question that we had before. If you have this churva, this ruin, that has two walls with a ceiling, it's not considered an extension of the city. So Gemara says, lav davka, lo, the Leka Tikra, who says anything about a Tikra over here, this Brisa cannot be used as a proof. So our original question is left unanswered. Then it says, Bayez Shebiyom, Lamai Chosi, this house that we said that was on this island that's near the city, so it can extend the city. So what do you use this house for? So I already mentioned it before. Amar Papa, Bayish Asi Lufanos Bo Kelim Shebesvina. So this was a storage area. They would take stuff off from the boat, put it into this house, or take stuff from the house and put it into the boat. So therefore, it was like a dock that had a storage area, and therefore that's considered part of the city. Then we said the cave is not considered an extension of the city. But more questions is Umara, Amos, Aberesima. The cave is not considered an extension of the city, but we learned elsewhere that it is. But Tani Ruchiyah said, Ma'ara misaberesima, that a cave does extend the city. So it seems to go against. We have a statement of Ruchiyah that goes against the Braisa. So Mabai, no, there are two different scenarios. Kishiyesh binyan apia, the Braisa of Ruchiyah is talking about where it's not just a cave, but it has a house there. So that's why it's an extension of the city. So Gemara says, "What does that have to do with the cave? It's a house over there. That's why the city is extended. Nothing to do with the cave." So Gemara says, "No, lo tzrichim tzricho lahashlim." We're talking about over here that the house itself wouldn't have been big enough. It wasn't dalet amos by dalet amos to be considered a house. So it's only when you combine the house with the cave that it's considered something of significance. If you have trouble imagining this, you can look in the Pirush Chai on page 106, diagram number 34. Mark continues and says, Amar Rav Huna, Yoshvei Tzrifin, the people that live in these huts, Ein Modid in Lehen, Ella Mipesach Boteim. We count over here, if you have a bunch of people living together in huts, but they're not really considered a city, so as Rashi says, Dira Shal Hutzin Varo, but these Tzrifin, these huts, are made out of various types of twigs and pieces of wood, Aravas, willows. And Rashi says, "V'ein no keva." They're not considered a permanent type of a dwelling, and therefore they don't establish a city. So each hut is an individual hut, and therefore they're not considered all one city, and your tum starts from outside your hut. And Rashi adds, "Hilchach." Therefore, even afilu yesh harbi b'mokbechad, even there are a lot of these huts near each other, and kishira mahalach be'a ama, even if it's 100 ama, in Choshen Ir, they're not considered a city to be together, Lios ki arba amos, and they don't view them as one dalet amos, as one city. And each of them is considered a separate area. You count 2,000 amos from each hut, l'kol ruach, ibol, it says, in every direction, if you wish to go out. So that's what Rav Huna says. Rav Chista questions this. Masa Rav Chista, Rav Chista says, wait a second. He says, v'yachanu l'yar dimi v'yasei yishimos. They made their camp next to the Yarden, the river, the Yarden. They went from Beis HaYishimos, and then the pasuk continues, Ad Evel HaShitim. V'yamar Rabbi Barachana, Amar Yochanan. Rabbi Barachana said, and we have Amar Yochanan in parentheses, in any event, L'didi Chazi Lihau Asra. I myself saw the place, V'avi Tlosa Parsi Al Tlosa Parsi, where Klai Yisrael encamped, as the pasuk says. It was an area of 3 parsa by 3 parsa. A parsa is 4 mil, so it's 12 mil by 12 mil. That's a large area. V'tanya, and it says, about the Klai Yisrael and camping over there in a Braisa. If somebody had to go to the bathroom, Kishem Nifnim, you weren't allowed to go in the camp itself. You had to keep the camp clean. So a Nifnim, lo lifnehim, lo litzidev. They couldn't go, just leave. Let's say a person lived at the very front of the camp. So he couldn't just go outside the camp in front, and he couldn't go outside the camp to the sides. He had to go all the way, travel through the 3 parsa, the 12 mil, and he went, elo liacharein. So you had to travel an entire distance of the camp, which was 12 mil. Now, a mil is 2,000 amma. So he had to travel the entire encampment, and he was allowed to do so. But all the encampments was all tzrifin. So how are you allowed to do this? So Amalei Rava, so Rava said, Digle Midbar Kamis, you're trying to make me a riot from the Digle Midbar? Kivan Dechsibu, it says, Api Hashem Yachanu, Api Hashem Yisou, since the Pasuk tells us that they encamped and they traveled by the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they stopped by the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Keman Dekvilu Dami. So the Tzrifim, the huts of Klai Yisrael in the Midbar, were considered permanent because all of them went together as one unit. Api Hashem Yachanu, Api Hashem Yisou, and that makes them different than a typical case of Tzrifim. So you can't bring me a raya against Rav Huna from Rav Chista. Now the Gemara adds an additional comment onto Rav Huna's ruling. Am Rav Chinina bar Rav Kana, Am Rav Ashi. However, im yesham shalosh chatzeros shoshnei batim, even these tzrifim over here, which are separate, if they are engaged or arranged in a certain sort of way, that you have 3 chatzeros, and each of them has at least 2 batim within it, so then that also does count, even these tzrifim do count as a city, hukbu, that is enough to make them keva, whether arranged in a certain set pattern, so then that makes it keva as well. People that live in these types of dwellings, these huts, and people that travel in the midbar, in other words, these are nomads of some sort. It's not a life. That's not considered a good life. It's a very difficult life. And you also have to question whether their children are really their own children. In other words, their wives have unfortunately probably been either assaulted or have had affairs, and their children are their own children. What exactly is going on over here? So the Gemara first says, Tani Nami Yochi, we have a Braisa that says the same thing, and then we'll have to understand it. So the Braisa says, Tani Nami Yochi, Eliezer Ish Biria Omer. He said the following statement. Yoshvei Tzvifin Ki Yoshvei Kvarim. The people that lives in these huts, these nomadic type of dwellings, so their life is just like somebody who lives in a grave. In other words, like dead people. They're no better off than dead people. The Abba Nosem Omer, and about their children, about their daughters, it says, Oru Shochev and Kol Behema. It says somebody who lives with an animal is doing a toeva, is a terrible thing. And in other words, he's saying that their daughters aren't really their daughters. Nebuch, they are mamzerim, and their wives had fooled around, and therefore their children aren't even their own children. What exactly is going on from this Raisa and the previous statement from Yehuda Marab? So my time, what exactly is going on over here? So Ula Mar, two possible reasons. The first one is from Ula, the second one is from Yochanan. Ula says, you know why that the Nebuch suspected? Because she'ain lehem mer chatzos, because there are no bathhouses over there, and therefore the men, when they have to go to the bathhouse, they have to travel a long distance away, and their wives are left out alone by themselves in these barren wildernesses, and they can be assaulted or they can have an affair and nobody will know, and therefore that's why the children aren't considered their own children. That's Ula's answer. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Mibei Shemar Gishin Zelozeh B'Tvila, because since they live far away from a mikvah, so they don't want to go to the mikvah by themselves, and therefore they go with two women. So therefore, it's very noticeable that they're leaving, and they can either be assaulted or somebody can meet up with them on the way. We have a rule that it says that if a man is alone with two women, so the women won't necessarily be a protection, one woman for the other woman. So therefore, a man who's of low character could possibly, Rachmona Litzlan, either assault them or have an affair with them. So we have these two answers, Ula and Rav Yochanan. Is there a difference between them? Might be Naya, the Gemara says. Yeah, there's a difference. Ika b'nayu, Nara d'somach l'veisa. The difference would be if you had a river that was right near these dwellings, these huts. So if there's a river there, so then they won't have to go with another woman. So according to Rav Yochanan, it won't be margishin zelazeh b'tvila. It won't be noticeable that all the women are going out to the mikvah, and there could be trouble, because they could easily go by themselves, it's not far away. But according to the idea that you need the men to go to a bathhouse, it's far away, this river doesn't help, it's not a bathhouse, and therefore the men will still be going away, and the woman will be left, Nebuch, potentially assaulted. Amar Rav Huna, Kol Yir Shein Bo Yerek, if a city doesn't have vegetables available for the people in it, Ein Tam L'Chochem Rashal Adorbo, that's not a good place for Tam L'Chochem to go and live. Why not? So Rashi explains that Tamidei Chachamim could easily be satisfied with just vegetables, and therefore they won't have to work so hard, and they'll be able to go spend most of the day learning, as opposed to if the food is not easy and plentiful, like vegetables, so then they're going to have to work that much harder. So Gemara says, this implies, Lememra, the Yerek Maya. This implies that Yerek is a healthy, hearty food. But that's not true of Atani. We learn in the Braisa, Shlosha Marbin Savezo, the three types of food that make a person have more tsoa, have more zevel. It's not a positive thing. And the Kofin Sakoma, and they make a person's posture very bad. They bend him over. They make him stoop. The Notlin, Echon, Chamesh Meos, Mimor, Ein of Shalodim. And likewise, they ruin his visual acuity. They take away from his eyesight 1/500th of his eyesight. So these three types of foods are not good for you for three reasons. And what are these three types of food? Ve'eluhein. These are the following foods. We turn to the Amud Aleph. The first one is pas kiber, which is like coarse whole bread. The sheikhar chadash, new beer. That's also not good for you. And the yarek and vegetables. How can you tell me vegetables is such a good thing? Shmuel says lo kasha. It's one place could say it's a good thing, one place is a bad thing. It's not contradictory. It depends what type of vegetables. So, ha betume vikarsi. If you're dealing with tume yishum, garlic, the shin and the tuf can be interchangeable. So, garlic is, according to the first version that we have over here, is loma alu. Rashi says they're not good for you. However, Rashi prefers, he says, nir beinai tume vikarsi mali. He says the better answer is that the tume and karsi are good. So, these leeks and garlic are good for you. That's Rashi's preferred explanation. There's another explanation that says that they're the ones that are bad for you. And then, if you say that the tumi and karsi are good, so ha b'shar yarki, the other vegetables are bad for you. If you say that the tumi and karsi are bad for you, then ha b'shar yarki are good for you. Kidatanya, then we have another brisa that says that. Shum is yarek. Shum is considered a good yarek. And kreishin is considered chatz yarek. Only half is good, but it's still good. Niret Snon, Niret Sam Chayim. And if a person can go and get a radish, a Snon, oh, it's as if a Sam Chayim has appeared. Niret Sam Chayim. That's a very, very good thing. So this brisa is in accord with the way we just learned it. Another brisa says, Niret Snon, Niret Sam Chayim. The other brisa says that Snon is a bad thing for you. Gemara says again, lo kasha, they're not contradictory. It depends what you're dealing with. Kan ba'olim, this last brisa, which said it's a sama mavis, is dealing with the leaves of the radish. That's not good. And the first brisa, which says that it's good for you, is sama chayim, then kan bi'imohos. That's referring to the ima, the mother, which means the root of the plant. That's good for you. Alternatively, you give it teretz, that when is it good for you? That's during the mosa chama. It's sweeter in the stomach, it's better, it's tastier. Kan b'mosa gshamim, but it's already too late, it's in the ground too long, so then it's not good for you in the mosa hagishamim, in the winter months, in the rainy season. We'll stop over here. Everybody should have a good kvittel.